As we seek to grow and mature in Jesus, we are often reminded that our passion and our pride will stand in our way. Pastor Tim helps us see this morning the necessity of humility in our growth. Thank you for joining us.
Just want to say to those that are watching online how much we appreciate you watching online. Thank you for Steve and for Mo that are running the camera for us. And all that you're watching today, I hope God is, that you sense Him today through this live stream. Some are not able to be here, you know, and watch it every Sunday. I'm happy that we're able to provide that for you. Here's a prayer for you. Chrissy is pregnant, and Amy is pregnant, and I need them in the Easter play. So y'all start praying that next week is the week, and they will have these babies, okay? I told them, I said, you have it on the Monday before the first performance, I expect you to show up Friday night, you know? And so they'll get on to me for praying those things, maybe, I don't know. And so y'all continue to pray for the Easter play. It's going to be good. It's going to be really, really good. Well, let's talk. In the Christian world, we have seen some great leaders. Throughout my lifetime, I've seen some great leaders. I think of Billy Graham. He's a man of love and humility. You know, I've known some people that knew him personally, and they said that he was the same on stage as he was behind the stage. He was a man of love and just of humility. He preached a wonderful gospel of salvation to millions of people. The people that knew him said he was the real deal. That you didn't have to question his motives at all. I think of Mother Teresa. If you want to do a great study of someone, you need to take a look at her life of love and humility also. You know, she served many thousands of people in Calcutta. You know, I had a friend that went down and worked with her, and they would come and try to interview her. She would always refuse most interviews because she would say, there's not the time for interviews. There's too many people to feed. What a heart. There's too many people to feed. So she was a woman that did unbelievable things. Here's someone you may not know, but I talk about him a lot. One of my professors, Dr. Tim Green. You know, when I was in college, when he was speaking in chapel, it seems like everything would just hush for a moment. And you was glued on him. And to see what God would speak through him. He was also our chaplain, and he was our shepherd, and how he loved us and shepherded us. And I saw that example in him and the love and the humility that he had. I often think of Maxine Blackwell. She loved people. And I would watch behind the scenes when she and I would work, two or three times together on something, and I watched her love for people, and I watched her life, and how much that in her position, that many people would wear with a chip on their shoulder, but she never did. She lived it as a life that she could love people and serve people, and she would call me. She says, I got one for you. You need to help this one. That she had a desire to see people achieve. She had so much love for the Lord and that heart of humility. I do think one that is dear to my heart, that is closest to me, is my dad. You know, I never met another man that could shepherd the way he could shepherd. He loved folks. He had so much love for God and love for people. And in that love and that humility, he was unbelievable. When I was doing my master's, I would write a lot about him, and my professors would always comment back, I wish I could have met him. Because the influences that these people have on our lives, they should influence us. We should be able to look at their lives and see. A love and humility. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 7, we find something that Peter is saying to us here. Let's read this. And now as an elder myself and a witness of the sufferings of Christ as well as one who shares in a glory to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you to attend the flock of God as of God that is in your charge, exercising the oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you to do it, not for a sword, a gain, but, say that word for me, eagerly. Do not lord it over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will win the crown of glory that never fades away. And in the same way, you who are a younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you must clothe yourselves with humility in your dealings with one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives a grace to the humble. So humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at a due time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Isn't that a good word today? Because he cares for you. You know, we should never compare ourselves, you know, to each other. But I believe what Paul said. He says, if you do not know the way, take a look at my life and follow me and I'll show you the way. That's what he said one time. So I don't think we need to compare ourselves, but I do believe that there comes a time that we should be able to be that individual that we say, if you don't know how to follow Jesus Christ, just come on. Come on with me. I'll show you the way. I had one professor tell me one time, we're truly not a disciple until we disciple someone else. Amen. Until we disciple someone else. We're truly not a disciple of the Lord in the sense of being someone that we can have to teach unless we teach someone. You know, because the way we live our lives is we teach people all the time. How we live our lives is a walking at a testimony. My father used to say all the time when he would do a funeral, he says, I don't really have to say anything because our lives are a testament on who we were. And so we are leading people if we like it or not. We're showing people a Jesus or we're not. These folks that I talked about, I like to look at their lives. I like to study their lives. What is the secret to their success, if we want to use a modern term? I use it for a reason. That question, another pastor many years ago, he asked my other father. He says, why do you have so much success? And you know how my daddy is. He was taken back by it a little bit. He says, well, I just exalt Jesus. I lift up Jesus. The pastor responded and he went, is that all that you do? And we realized the undertakings of the church, and my dad understood that too. But in reality is in my dad's faith and the way he believed the Lord, is that if you just lift up Jesus Christ, that's about 99.9% of it. Yes, we have to go through services with all these things. He says, success is coming. Not in the terms of success that we might think in a modern a term. Because remember, what we think is great is very seldom great in God's eyes. And what he thinks is great is very seldom great in our eyes. Very seldom. What God thinks is great is very seldom great in our eyes. But what he thinks is great, I mean what we think is great, is very seldom not great in his eyes. So we're going to see where this scripture here today leads us. Here we find Peter here saying, I need to attend a flock. He was one himself. He was a shepherd of a flock. And he's saying to the leaders of the church is that we have to attend the flock. We must take a charge, and we need to do the oversight of the flock, but not under a pulsing. In other words, not because you just have to, but God has called you to, but in a willing way, as God would have you to do it. How God would have you to do it, not for a sword, a gain, but with a heart that's for just passion to be able to feed the flock. This sword gain is an interesting word. It's only used one other time in the Greek New Testament. Only one other time. It's an interesting word which basically means sleazy, corrupt, low-minded. My goodness. That kind of hurts my feelings a little bit. Not for sword gain. Peter was writing this for a reason to this church, because maybe, I'm sure he had seen some of the leaders of the church were like doing it for themselves. It's only found one other place in the Greek New Testament. It's in Titus chapter 1, verse 11. It says, "Whose mouth must be stopped? Who subvert whorehouses and teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake?" Meaning, gaining things, trying to be an elder and a leader of the church. And here's the thing. I believe there are, elders of the church. But I believe all of us have our place in this. Is that, that I've seen throughout the years that many, when we have voting here, we don't have voting here, but when they're voted into certain positions within the church, it's almost like a chip on their shoulder at the moment. It's almost like something like, wow, look at me now. I have made it to this level. I have made it to this level. And this little sentence here says, but do it the way God wants you to do it. How God wants you to do it. And in other words, do not lord it over those that you're in charge of, but be examples to the flock. But be examples to the flock. Do not lord it over them. But remember, a couple years ago, what our theme was? Jesus said it the same way in Matthew. Don't lord it over them as the Gentiles do. I think Peter at this moment was giving thought to what he's writing here. I believe that his mind was going back to a time before his denial. At that time when James and John, their mom came in and said, when you come into your kingdom, Jesus, let my sons sit on the left and on the right. And it made all the rest of the disciples upset and mad. People says, I wonder why. Because I have a feeling, because they didn't think to ask first. I just have this feeling. And you often heard me use this word. And the only other place we find that wording in the New Testament was when Jesus was on the cross. There was one on his left and one on his right. And because Jesus says, you don't know what you ask of me. Because what we think is great, I'm going to say this, is never great in God's eyes. What we think in our Americanized Christianity that is great, it's never great in God's eyes. I got news for us today. The American dream is built out of greed. It's built out of a conquest of others. It is. It's built out of conquest of others. Let me climb the corporate ladder as fast as I can. Let me be over folks. There's nothing wrong with having things again, all this. Nothing. But it's how you get there is what matters. Is what matters. And Peter is saying, if you're going to be a leader, or you're going to be a leader within the church body, you got to do it God's way. And I think he was thinking back through his life before the denial, that he tried to do it his way. He thought he had it all together. My goodness, Peter, James, and John, they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Look at me. My goodness, the rest of the disciples got to stay down there. You know what I'm saying? They even said, while we're up here, let's just make some houses, some tents, let's just stay here. This is really good. Let's just stay right here. This is really good right here. Once again, not the understanding of, guess what? There's people all around us that need Jesus. Thank you. was Amy, I think, said amen. Thank you, Amy. We often want to stay within, but God says we've got to turn out. We often want to give with a closed fist, but Jesus' way says it has to be an open hand. It has to be an open hand. We have to do it God's way. God's way. Be examples to the flock. When humility is in your life, you open the floodgates. You open the floodgates of heaven to be a blessing to others. When humility comes in your life, here's the thing. We can pray for humility 24 hours a day. We can grab the horns of the altar, as the old timers used to say. But that's something we have to do. Understand this. We can ask others to humble us, and I will say this to you. A lot of times, our decisions have a way of humbling us. You say amen to that? And so it's not one of these things that I do. I pray for that humility. But what I pray for is, Lord, show me and teach me. He says, I already have. He says, just take a look at my life, the way I lived my life. It's the best lesson. It's the best way to live. Because we always hear, even Christian folks, is a lot of times we want to be on top. And it's amazing, is we'll do things that we thought we would not do to get there. We look back on it and go, if I just got to step on one or two people to get where I need to go, it's okay. It's okay. But it's not okay. It's not okay. Jesus, through Peter here, is trying to teach us that we got to do it His way. It says here, if we will humble ourselves and allow the Lord, it says that in His Word here, it says that we will share in the crown of a glory of the chief shepherd, which is Jesus. You know, I said it, you know, 2 or 3 years ago now that, you know, my saying is that we cannot lead or serve with a crown on our head, but only with a towel in our hand. That's biblical. We see it again here. Is that we cannot serve the Lord with a crown on our head. We can only serve the Lord with a towel in our hand. In other words, it's a form of saying it where we can understand what that really means. And something that the Lord has shown me since then, and I've said it once or twice, is that the only place that Jesus ever had a crown on His head, listen to me, the only place that Jesus had a crown on His head while He was here on earth was where? On the cross. That should tell us something on how to live our lives. If we have a crown on our head and we're trying to live for the Lord and we're trying to go up in whatever career that we have, we might get there to the top, but I guarantee you God had nothing to do with it. Because when you wear a crown on your head, you don't care about anybody else around you. It's all about drive. It's all about, I'm going to go other places. If I could speak at a college, at a high school graduation or a college graduation, this is what I would use. When you are headed out in the world, and after you graduate a college or you're at your great high school, whatever path that the Lord takes you, if you could just grasp a hold of this, on how life would be just wonderful. I talked about a little bit last week. It's God's a blessing on us. Once again, it's not about material things. God's blessing is His presence. So therefore, if I'm in good health, praise God, His presence is with me. If I'm in bad health, guess what? His presence is with me. I'm not blessed because I have good health. Does that mean, once again, I'm not blessed if I have some bad health? It's none of my doing. I'm sick. But a James down here has one at a kidney. He's suffered for many years. Is he not a blessed because he only has one kidney? I only got one kidney now. So we got something going on, Buddy James. It's the way we live our lives. And I guarantee you, I can go to where you work, and or you could walk in here and ask anyone here and says, I can go to your place of work. I said, but Dave, you retire, I'm going to pick on you. Brother Dave, you know Dave Martin? Does he work with a crown on his head or a towel in his hand? I guarantee you I would get an immediate response. Guarantee you. And so if we're going to be leaders of the church, if we're going to be leaders of the church, we must come to the place where he says to the young ones to clothe yourselves with humility. And in other words, there's another great word in the Greek. When Jesus, on that night before he was crucified, he met with his disciples. And he says when he got up from the table that he tied a garment around him. He tied a garment around him. And this word here actually means a tie knot. Tie a knot, which means you take a garment and you tie it around you. You tie that garment around you. In other words, it's a type of garment that you was about to get dirty. It's the type of garment that you was about to come down on someone's level. It's the type of garment that you wore when you're about to wash someone's feet. And Peter is saying to the younger ones, clothe yourself with humility. Clothe yourself with that garment tied around you. Or everyone, you know, will not lift your name up because you do this and this and this. But they will say something. You know about Billy Graham? And even preach. That when I stand before you, when you're in a wood box, that I don't have to try to, and sometimes I do, I have to really strive to say something. But I'm a Mildred Wood, she passed away. I could put her name in here. And someone says, wow, that's going to be a hard one. I said, oh, this one's easy. I don't even have to even write anything down hardly. This is going to be, you know, I used the word fun. They went, you're crazy. What I'm saying is that she lived a life that it didn't make it difficult for a preacher to stand before her because she never wore a crown on her head. She only had a towel in her hand. And she made it easy for me to be able to speak truth. She made it easy for me because of the life that she lived. Or the life that she lived. To clothe ourselves. To pick up the garment. Tie the knot around us. Sometimes. We all have this moment. Even me. And even you. That we take that knot out. And that garment. And we throw it down. And we do it our way. I often say, it's almost like we tell the Holy Spirit, you come up and sit up here for a little while. I got this. You heard me say it before, ain't you? I got this one. And in the end resort of it, we run back and say, Lord. And he will go, I hear people talking to me. I love cell phones. I'm not gonna point you out. I'm just kidding. But we often run back, and we have to. Where else are we gonna turn? Say, Lord, I am undone. Because failure will come in a Christian when pride is the king of the heart. You cannot be an effective leader. You might get a crowd. And I'm not saying any big church is there because whatever. Don't start reading into that. But I had the best example and the best teacher on this earth was my dad. He always tell me, if you serve people, you will see things happen. You just keep loving God and loving people. God will move heaven and earth. I've seen pastor fall one after another. I've seen elders fall. Last year I saw three men that I love dearly fall. And I'm no different from any of them. You're no different from any of them. A lot of times we sit and we scoff. But you're only one hair's breadth away. You say, Tim, do we live in fear? I don't live in fear. I live in victory. I praise God that I don't have to sin in word, thought, and deed every day. That's a lie from the devil. I'm glad that I can live in victory. I'm glad that he's given me what I need. What I need. They will live in victory. But I think it begins with a humble heart. It says when we deal with one another, do it with humility. How many times in churches have you seen that verse is totally ignored? When we deal with one another, deal with humility. Church after church has fallen, has been brought to their knees because that wasn't followed. Family after family has fallen to their knees because that wasn't followed. Marriage after marriage has fallen, 53% of them, because of that. Because when we humble ourselves, it opens us up to be wrong. It opens ourselves up to be taught. It opens ourselves up to say, you know what? There is a different point of view. It opens ourselves up for God to do a work. He goes on and says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In other words, it says, if you're going to be prideful, there's nothing I can do for you. Basically, that's what it's saying. You're going to let the pride reign? He said, there's not really anything I can do. Think back when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. What happened? You humbled yourself. And somewhere along the line is we get, for whatever reason, maybe it's a lack of training, maybe it's a lack of understanding, that we pick that crown of pride back up. That we think that everything that we say is right. I do believe today, humbleness, humility, and I can hear the thoughts going on. But does that mean we need to be a doormat? I could do a raise of hands right now how many was thinking that. I've said it before, and I've thought that too. And I thought that one time, and the Lord says, Kim, that's a source of pride to even think it. I'm getting on myself to even think it. It's a source of pride. Is this all about you? How you feel? What's going on in your life? So we often question things in our life based upon the pride of our decisions, not upon the humility that God has called us to. I'm here today to say that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. This last verse is my life verse. He says, he's painting us a picture of basically what to be and what not to be. Then he says, therefore, which means what's come before, therefore, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. It's an Old Testament understanding that he would lead his people with his mighty hand out of the bondage of Egypt. He would lead them with his mighty hand. Humble yourselves more under his mighty hand. So that I may exalt you in due time. What? Humble and be exalted? In America, that doesn't compute. American Christianity, like most of us live by a lot of times, that doesn't compute. Humility, be exalted. Humility, be exalted. In his due time? Does that make sense to you? It's hard for me to understand sometimes. So I'm humble, and then I'm exalted. The key thing is, and the Lord showed me this a long time ago, right over there. He says, Tim, take your hands off of it. Take your hands off of it. And I'm in a term that we use a lot, I've got this. You know? I think you can understand that terminology. That's what the going thing right now is. I should say, you know, Heidi was good looking as a bug. You know what I'm saying? Back in the 80s. She's looking at me strange. But he's got this. Humility, exaltation. He says in due time. Not on your timetable. Not on your mama's. Not on your spouse. He says, on my timetable, I will exalt you. What does that look like? You answer that question. And when he gave that to me, it's when I began to really live life. And he says, you know why you can? The next verse. Cast all your anxieties upon me. Why? Listen. Because I care for you. In other words, Peter is saying, I'm telling you something that sounds strange. I'm telling you something that you might not understand, but you can do it. You can understand it by surrendering yourself to Jesus Christ. You surrender. It says, Lord, I have all these anxieties. I have all these cares of the world. He says, I know. He says, give them to me. Give them to me. It's about surrender. You cannot lead. You cannot serve with a crown on your head, but only with a towel in your hand. And I can say that with confidence because Jesus left his throne and came down. Exactly that. And he says, now go and do likewise. You want a great life? Listen to the word today. When I used the word great, remember? What we often think is great is not always great in God's eyes. But what is great in God's eyes, we very seldom ever see it being great. Let us allow him to change that perspective. Can we do that? Change that perspective. Last thing. Maybe this is the way it looks. I get a new material thing and I say, oh, God has blessed me with a great house. And I get excited over it. Well, maybe it should look this way. A crystal came down here and got saved last Sunday morning. Woo! Maybe that's what it should look like. Yes, be thankful. Yes, be thankful that you made decisions, that your house is paid off. Be thankful that you're in this place. Be thankful for it. You better believe it. But sometimes, as Christians, this is the ultimate goal. That's called the American dream, which is not in the Word of God. It's not there. God wants to lead us here, and it's great principles to live your life that way. He says, you want a dream? This is Crystal. Sees Jesus for the first time. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves while you stand. And when they sing this Spirit of the Living God, you might be sitting here today and saying, Tim, I want that life. I've been a Christian for a long time, a very short time, but I said, there's that pride is still the king of my heart. Now's the time. I believe it's time. I'll use a big theological word. I think it's time for a sanctification to begin to take its way into your life. Of being made holy, being made righteous, being set apart. I want you to come today.
Our prayer for you as you grow in Jesus and you grow in community is that you will hear the voice of God. Humble yourself, and I will exalt you in due time. Thank you for joining us this morning. This is Pastor James St. John on behalf of our Freedom Church family and our senior pastor, Tim Thomas. We hope and we pray in the coming week you will seek his face and you will love like Jesus. Bless you. Have a great week.